live from our living room. It's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long distance, marriage, and relationships.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today, we've got a bit of a different episode. Rich is actually going to be interviewing me about my experience of moving to be with my long-distance partner, i.e. him. So he's prepared some questions. I've got some things I want to mention. For those of you that follow us on Instagram, I don't think I posted on Twitter, but definitely on Instagram a couple weeks ago, I posted some thoughts about being homesick, because I've been going through a bit of that lately. It does crop up even after seven and a half years of living here. So yeah, we just wanted to touch on that. It was a post that got quite a lot of comments from other people who are nervous about that because they haven't made the move or have just made the move and are nervous about, you know, how that's going to look for them. So it is a really important topic and one that I have a lot of experience with, having been away from home so long. So I guess, babe, if we dive in or if there's anything else you want to say before you start with the questions?
No, we can go straight in.
Okay.
So I think the obvious first question is, why did you decide to come to the UK?
I think it was just always kind of assumed that I would. Like, I wanted to. From when we started talking, like, even when we were, like, 17, it was like, oh, we'll live in Camden and have a record shop and all this stuff. I think I've always wanted to live somewhere else and experience something different. You know, I grew up in a very small town in Arizona that didn't offer a great deal in terms of change and adventure. And meeting someone exciting like you gave me the opportunity to do something different and experience life. And I was always interested in the history of the UK and stuff. So it just really appealed to me. And then the further down the line we got, when we actually got down to deciding for sure, that the visa process was a lot quicker for an American go to England than it was for an English person to go to America. And that was a real deciding factor, I think, for us, because we've been apart or trying to figure it out for so long, we didn't want to be apart again in that process. And we didn't have to with the, with me coming here, basically.
Yeah. And I expect that's something a lot of people will face when one of them, when they're looking to close the distance.
Yeah. I mean, you have to consider the logistics of it and what's going to be the easiest and for a lot of people, quickest way to be together. But you do just kind of think about everything that entails, and just because it's the quickest doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way. But for us, I think it was.
So did you have any reservations about leaving your home?
I did, but I don't think I knew what they were really beforehand. And of course I was nervous. You know, I've had real bouts of anxiety and some depression in my life, and I've always had a real secure support group in my family, especially my mom, who, you know, has experienced some anxiety as well. So she was there. I had my same best friend from the time I was 2, still my best friend today, always there, my siblings and other great friends. So I was nervous about losing that support network in terms of what happens if I get over there, and, you know, the change and the big move really sends me into kind of a tailspin, you know, like with anxiety and stuff. But luckily, I didn't really have to face that too bad. But yeah, I definitely had reservations. I didn't have any reservations in terms of our relationship.
But if I look at the beginning, when we first made that decision, you didn't really show any reservations. There was a lot of excitement at that time.
There was so much excitement, and I was just so happy that we would finally be together permanently after so many years of, I guess even though we'd been together or talking for so many years, it wasn't actually that many years of trying to be back and forth, but it was hard nevertheless, and it was quite intense. So yeah, I think I was more relieved and excited for our future, but I definitely had reservations about how I would do with the move and everything.
So was there a point that really hit you that you were making a huge change?
Yeah, there was 2 points, actually. It was after we got engaged, and, you know, the visa, I don't know if it had been approved yet or if it was just kind of, it had been submitted and we were waiting to hear back. But we were still in Arizona. You were there, you know, obviously Rich spent like 6 months out there with me. So it was during that period that we got engaged before we moved back here. And my mom and I had kind of a girls' day. We went and saw Bridesmaids because it was out in theaters at the time. And we went out to lunch after. And I don't really remember what we were talking about, but maybe we were talking about me moving. And she just looked up at me really sad and said, I'm having a really hard time with the thought that you're going to be moving so far away. And I couldn't really talk about it because I hadn't, maybe it was selfish, but I hadn't really thought a great deal about how it was going to affect everyone else. I was just so excited for you and me. And that was hard. And then a little while later, again, right before we moved, before I moved to the UK, you and I did a road trip and we did LA. Well, we'd spent a lot of time in LA, but we did kind of the Grand Canyon, Las Vegas, a couple areas you hadn't seen yet. And I remember being in a hotel, I think somewhere outside the Grand Canyon, and we were having a great time. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to go take a bath. And I just remember sitting in the bath and thinking, after this road trip, we get back to, you know, Southern California where my family is, and I only have a couple days before I move away, potentially like forever, obviously get back to visit and stuff. But that kind of hit me, like, it's really coming down to it. And I remember, like, clearing out my bedroom was really weird and stuff like that.
I remember you you came down in hives at the end of that trip, and it's never happened since. It never happened before.
It happened when I started high school, which is quite a big change. Yeah, so
we wondered if it was the stress. I think
it absolutely was. Yeah, I remember, like, the last couple weeks of school, and I was teaching. I remember being in front of the classroom, and my palms and my hands just started getting really, really itchy. And one of the other teachers had, like, Benadryl, like an antihistamine, and gave it to me, and that helped a bit. But it just kind of kept happening. And then I started breaking out and, like, well, actually, no, I don't think it happened much. I just kept getting the itchy palms. And then we went, school ended. That was, like, the last couple days of school. And then we went on a road trip, and we were in Vegas. And I woke up covered in hives all over my body. My face was swollen on one side. So we went to, like, just the drugstore, and I got a really good antihistamine. And, yeah, I had to take it every few days just to keep myself from doing that. But, yeah, I have had a couple periods in my life where I was really anxious, and I broke out in hives. I'd forgotten about that. Mm. You were worried that someone would thought you'd hit me.
You look like you've been beaten. You were just really swollen. Well, I wasn't, like,
bruised. But, yeah, half my face was just really...
Like, your eye was closed. You had puffy. A fat lip. Like,
it wasn't closed, but it was really puffy.
Yeah.
And then, do you remember after we actually moved here, I was still going on for the first few weeks after I actually moved here and with you and your family. And I remember my lips got really, really massive. I looked like a duck-billed platypus.
Yeah. Didn't they hurt?
They hurt. See, it was the same thing. It was just this, like...
the skin got so tight.
Yeah. I wasn't broken out in hives. Like, my face got all puffy and swollen. And my lips got so big. Like, put Angelina Jolie and Julia Roberts, like, to shame. But, yeah, it was just that they were so full of fluid or whatever. I guess that's what happens when it's swollen, isn't it? Is it fluid?
It must be.
Yeah, and it just hurt. They felt like they were going to burst. And then we went to the doctor, and I was like, I don't want to sit in a waiting room with these lips. Like, I didn't want to be seen. And the doctor just said, you might now have developed an allergy to the antihistamine you're taking. So you need to just stop for a couple of days taking anything. But here's some in case you have breathing problems and everything. But yeah, so there were all sorts of indicators that I was stressed, even though I was really excited.
So what was the scariest part about the whole moving process?
I think for me... it was definitely the visa stage when we applied for the visa because, you know, we got engaged and we were so excited. And the thought that someone could say, oh, no, you can't be together. You can't move here was really terrifying. And that was really emotional. Do you remember? Like,
yeah,
I would have panic attacks.
I remember the phone bill that you racked up from constantly ringing the the agency.
Yeah, you mentioned that a couple of times. I don't remember that.
Yeah, because anytime I had a question, you'd ring them and it was like a premium rate number and you're like, it's fine, I'll put it on my credit card.
Yeah, I don't really remember that, but I believe you. I just don't really remember it. I think I was
so... You blocked it out.
I was just so distracted with the whole process and just like, I think it's harder now, but even then there was the rumors that if you tick one box wrong, it could mess everything up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that I was getting all the right information. But yeah, I mean, that was really scary to feel like our fate was not in our hands, you know, and like, it was a lot of money. It was over $1,000. And then I paid an extra, expedition fee to make it go through quicker. So the thought that after all that and all that money and everything we'd been through and the horrible time I had when we were apart, that it might not happen was terrifying to me.
Yeah. So what was the emotional transition like when you moved here?
It was weird because I couldn't work for the first 6 months. And we were living with your family, so it was very kind of isolated at first. Like, I don't feel like I actually experienced much of this country in that time because it was just like, I was on my own a lot. I mean, you were working from home, but obviously you'd be like in the study working and I'd be around the house just watching TV, hanging out, obviously planning the wedding. That filled up my time a lot. But I remember the first few weeks, again, I was having to take antihistamines every few days. Otherwise, I'd break out into these hives, which we can only assume was because of stress. Mm-hmm. And then I remember like at night, I'd be okay during the day, like when there was bits to do, things to distract me. But then when we'd get in bed at night, I would start to just like panic, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What have I done? My parents are so far away. You know, everything I know is so far away. So I think it was just kind of getting my head around what I'd actually done. And then once like the wedding plans were in full swing, that really helped me. I did everything. I made our wedding invitations, you know, and stuff. So that kept me really busy. And that was a good distraction. And then after we got married, then I was able to start looking for a job.
But I remember it was really hard for you to talk to your mum during that whole time because she made you really upset.
She was having a really hard time. And yeah, it was hurtful to talk to her and hear how hard it was for her. And yeah, I don't want to go into too much of that because I don't want to disrespect her emotions. No, but it was, that was really hard because she took it very hard. I was the last kid at home. We were very close. So it was really hard on her. And I think hearing her sadness, you know, was the same little grains of doubt and fear that I had. And I couldn't hear that then. I just needed total positivity that, you know, this transition would work and we'd stay together and everything would be great. And it did, but yeah, it was really hard emotionally in that time.
So what's the hardest part about living in a different country?
I guess for me, because the country I live in is so far away from home, obviously the distance is the hardest thing for me. Missing out on everything. All right, I'm about to get emotional. I need to take a breath. you know, I have a niece and nephew and I don't get to go to their birthday parties. I just have to send them a present and try and FaceTime them. Like this in October, it was my nephew's sixth birthday. And because he's in school now and I'm at work and his birthday was on a weekday, you know, we tried to arrange a FaceTime date, but it didn't work. And that, you know, that was really hard. And the amount of distance scares me. If something were to go wrong, you know, heaven forbid someone were to fall ill, the amount of time it would actually take to arrange a flight and get there would be well over a day. And another thing that's really, really hard is, like, if we fight, because I've built my life around you here, like, I do have friends here and stuff, but I don't know. I think it's hard to make friends when you're an adult, but when we fight, I feel really, really alone, which we don't fight very often, and they're never really big fights, but it can just be a scary, isolating feeling. And then another thing that's hard is because your family's here and mine's not, it's like every holiday and every special occasion is built around them, which is nothing, you know, that's not their fault. They're not doing anything wrong, but you just feel a bit like everything's kind of one-sided, and you start to feel a bit like your family doesn't matter, even though that's not really true, but it just... they're never involved because they're not there. So those are kind of the hardest things for me, I think.
Yeah.
And Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's really hard because it's just nothing here. Whereas, like, at least Christmas, if we're here for Christmas with your family, it's still... Christmas is just a huge deal in England as it is in America.
Well, I suppose you've got those cultural differences. Like, you said it's getting a bit better now, but when you first came over here, Halloween's not as big a deal as it is in America. So we kind of goes from... I suppose it's like September, early October, people start talking about Christmas. Mm. And you're thinking we've got Halloween, we've got Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I suppose you've got those differences that can be tricky.
Yeah, yeah, it just kind of feels like a couple really big parts of the year just don't happen, which is very strange to me. I mean, Halloween isn't as big of a deal anyway because we're getting older, but I still like it.
So the last question then is, do you have any tips or advice you want to share with people in your spot 7.5 years ago?
So 7.5 years ago, I was, you know, filling out the application, getting ready to move over. I think just make sure it's what you want to do would be my top thing. I've never regretted it completely, but there have been small moments when you kind of regret the decision, just when there's something really big happening back home and you can't be there, or you're feeling really blue and homesick and down about things. So you just need to talk. I think just talk to your partner constantly about the decision and come up with plans. You know, if you have decided that you're the one moving, You know, your partner needs to be so supportive, and they need to understand from the get-go that they are going to be your lifeline. And I think I tried really hard to make you aware of that. I mean, you knew in terms of my anxiety and stuff that, you know, I might need more support than someone making a big move that didn't have those problems. So your partner needs to understand there are going to be times when I need you. I need you to just drop everything for me and help me through this transition or whatever. But come up with plans. Try to think what you'll do for yourself when you're feeling sad and homesick or missing out on something back home, whether that's planning a pamper day or, you know, a big day out or a shopping spree or, you know, whatever. Try and have some plans, because I didn't really know what I would do. I didn't know what would happen. But I do know that another thing that was really important for me is once I moved here and realized what I'd done, I said to you, like, look, I'm not saying I want to move back home or that I ever will, but I just need to know from you that if I can't do this, we can try living in America. And you said, yeah, like, I don't want to just say this to, you know, make you feel better, kind of, what's that word? Is it?
Placate you?
Yeah, that one. And you're like, and I'm not saying that I can do this now, but if this doesn't work for you, of course we'll figure out a way for us to be together where you're happy and stuff. So yeah. So I think that once I knew that, there was a weight lifted. And again, it wasn't like I wanted to move back. It was just, okay, if I ever need to and I can't do this, we will. And then another thing I would say is try and make sure that you have some friends where you're moving to beforehand. Now, this might be tricky. Like, maybe if you and your partner are both moving to be somewhere together, like to a different place, that's hard. But if you're moving to the area where your partner's always lived, try and get to know their friends and their friends' partners. So like for me, you know, Rich's friends' girlfriends, or if you're the boy, then your partner's boyfriends' boyfriends and stuff. That was kind of tricky for us, and that wasn't really something we could do because you weren't living where you'd grown up, so you didn't really have any friends in that area. Mm. So that was really hard. And then
people can join sort of clubs.
Yeah, or definitely join clubs. I found a website that was like for girls that just want to find friends. And I did meet one girl. We hit it off for a little while, but never really stayed in touch that well. But there are things you can do. I know that there are like, obviously it depends what country you're from, but there are like American clubs in different countries. Yes, I just think
there are also expat forums. I think where like more and more people are moving, I feel like the support network's a little bit better than it was for you.
Probably. But I'm also a bit scared to do that kind of stuff. I don't know, I'm quite an outgoing person, but when it actually comes to putting myself out there and trying to make friends in England, I find it really hard because the cultural differences in terms of making friends here and there is quite different. English people totally friendly, and some of the greatest people I've met in my life have been since I've lived here, but it's a little bit harder to get yourself in that social circle, whereas like in England, it's more, or sorry, in America, it's more like, oh, we've met, we both like the same things, we're gonna be friends. Whereas that can happen here, and you don't really ever hear from them again. Mm-hmm. So that's been, some of the cultural stuff's been a little bit hard. I've found like the way the English people are like so playfully mean to each other, but you don't really know that it's playful.
Yeah, you had a hard time with that.
I still struggle sometimes. I think my last job where I worked, they were really hard on it. Where I am now, you can tell they're being more playful. Or maybe I've just started to understand it more. But yeah, it's a big deal and I never regret it. Like I said, there are small moments when you feel like, oh, I wish we had just done it the other way around. It would have been easier for me or whatever. But I just kind of want to talk about that because it's been on my mind. It's been a hard few weeks of kind of anxieties and being homesick and missing out on stuff. But we're going to America for Christmas. So we're leaving in about 5 weeks and we're going to be there for just under 2 weeks. And I can't wait. I haven't had a Christmas at home in 5 years. So we're very excited. Yeah. But there are some things I wanted to share in terms of the positives that I've got out of living here. Yeah, it's hard, but I think I've grown a lot and I've gotten so much more independent and strong. And that's something you've always pointed Definitely, out yeah. over the years. Yeah. I mean, I've always been quite an outgoing, fun loving, bubbly person, even though I have kind of like, you know, my darkness and my anxiety, like everyone has something, but I was always quite codependent or, you know, relying on someone else. And, you know, I've had to kind of make my own way here with your help, obviously, and your family's help. But whether or not we end up moving back to America one day, I'll always be so glad that I had this experience, because it really brought me out as a person. I've become more adventurous and more accepting of myself and the things I want. You know, I think I needed that distance from maybe the way you're brought up and what's expected of you. I would never have probably got tattoos and felt comfortable with that, you know, having stayed, you know, around my family, who can be a little bit disapproving of that kind of thing. Also, I love where I've moved to. England, obviously, I have my complaints about it, which you'll know from one of our most recent episodes about what amuses us about one another's countries. But I love the history, and there's so many amazing places you can go. Like just yesterday, I'll put some pictures up on Instagram. I meant to do it yesterday, actually. I went and found this like Neolithic like burial site, and it's not like a stone, it's kind of like a stone circle. It's older than Stonehenge, and it's been there forever, and I never knew about it. It's just a few miles away from our house. Like, there's something to discover, and I love that. And I love that we're close to Europe, which makes it easy for us to travel. Not that we do it as much as we'd like, but we have gone over there a few times. And I also think it's made our relationship stronger. I mean, maybe that would have been the case anyway if you'd come to America as well, but I think you're thrown together, you have to navigate these things, and you can't do it on your own. You need your partner, the person that you've moved for, to help you, and they need to be there, and they need to understand what a big role they're going to be playing. In some ways, I feel like if I had stayed and just married a guy where I grew up, his job wouldn't be half as big as yours is, but I feel like it's made us closer, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that's kind of my positive stuff that I wanted to say. Anything else that you wanted to ask about, or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Are there any things that you could say in terms of advice to partners?
No, I mean, it can be hard. You just have to be there, I think. Just be as supportive as you can.
Yeah, definitely. Be ready to listen and drop everything when you have to.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we will see you soon.